This is the Ethanol Report. The Board of Directors for the Renewable Fuels Association met this week in St. Louis amid continued criticism of ethanol. President Bob Dineen says it is frustrating sometimes.
Well, I think there's a fair amount of angst in the industry today as member companies see their fuel being so misrepresented in the media and the facts distorted with respect to food versus fuel. But generally, the ethanol industry is in this business to do good, to increase rural economic development opportunities, to help address climate change, to make our nation more energy secure. And when you see some of the distortion and misrepresentations that are out there in the media, it's a bit discouraging. What is most galling is that many of the stories that are being written and broadcast fail to acknowledge in any way the role of the rising price of oil in food price inflation. And when it is oil that is costing farmers more to produce, to transport, it's costing more to process that food, to package it, to market and distribute it, how they can be ignoring the impact of oil in this debate is simply unimaginable. And what we've been trying to do in this debate is to remind people why ethanol is so important. Ethanol is the only liquid transportation fuel today that is having any kind of moderating impact on consumer energy prices. We are reducing the amount of gasoline that we now import. We are reducing consumer gasoline prices. We're even having an impact on reducing crude oil prices, according to an analysis done by Merrill Lynch and published in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago. We're the only thing that is having a significant impact on the single most important cause of food price inflation, and yet we're being targeted, and it is pretty frustrating.
Looking ahead, I know it's kind of hard at this point to look into your crystal ball, but what do you expect that we might see in the ethanol industry in the next 5 years?
The ethanol industry will be unrecognizable 5 years from now than it is today. We're going to be bigger. We're going to be stronger. We're going to be producing from a wider variety of feedstocks. We'll be using new technologies. We will see commercial production of ethanol from cellulose, which will dramatically reshape this industry. And we will get through this. And I think that's what people need to just constantly remind themselves before they pick up the baseball bat to hit the radio or the television set.
Now, let's talk specifically about what happened last week. The governor of Texas calling for a waiver of at least a partial part of the renewable fuels standard. That seems to be what's targeting now. They're really getting down to it. They're saying, this is something we can do about food prices right now. We can get rid of this mandate for the renewable fuels standard. What is the reaction of the ethanol industry in general to this?
The facts do not support Governor Perry's request for a waiver. In fact, a report that Governor Perry himself requested of his own in-state agricultural institution, Texas A&M, says that waiving the RFS will not have much of an impact on corn prices and will have an impact in terms of raising consumer gasoline prices, and it should not be pursued. Governor Perry has ignored his own Texas A&M study. I don't believe that EPA will waive this program because they know its importance to holding down consumer gasoline prices. They know that the causes of food price inflation go far beyond the negligible impact from the renewable fuel standard, and I don't see them backtracking on important national policy objectives of energy security, rural development, and environmental benefit. The fact of the matter is, you're not going to have food security in this country until and unless you have energy security in this country.
Bob, there are reports this week that the blender's tax credit might be cut by 6 cents in the new farm bill, and the import tariff would be cut as well. What's the ethanol industry reaction to that idea?
We've said all along that the only reason the secondary tariff is there is to offset the tax benefit that refiners get when they blend ethanol, whether that ethanol is imported or domestic. And we believe that it makes sense to marry up the secondary tariff with the tax incentive, and we would support that. I don't know if that is, in fact, what is ultimately going to happen, but We would support it if they did. We do understand that they are looking at reducing the ethanol tax incentive. The refiners get a small amount in order to pay for cellulosic tax credits and some other important programs that are in this bill. And while we wish they could find other means of paying for those important priorities, we understand the budgetary constraints that Congress is under.
And finally, let's talk a little bit about the United Nations. They're calling the current global food price situation a crisis for the world's poor, and they're placing some of the blame on that on biofuels. And what's your reaction there?
A lot of the concerns being expressed about ethanol and the food versus fuel debate revolve around the impact of U.S. food aid and other food aid to address hunger problems around the globe. And again, I think it's real important that people understand 65% of the cost of food aid is attributable to transportation costs. It costs a fair amount of money to transport grains across the ocean, to ship it on diesel trucks to far-reaching parts of the globe, and the rising price of oil and diesel fuel specifically is clearly having a devastating impact on food aid, and people really need to focus on the myriad of consequences, our dependence on imported oil, and the skyrocketing price of oil on these important programs.
Thank you very much, Bob Dineen, president of the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.